and welcome to Marooned at MacBytes headquarters, day 323. How are we all doing? I see the chat. Oh, Jonathan, just for a change. Congratulations. Oh, Angel Delight. Those pots were too small. I would, particularly considering you could only order three of them, which was criminal. Just enough to tantalise you, but not enough to fill you up. We did get a packet of it in the end, and Mike hasn't foreseen to make it for me.
No.
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 Have we got no milk or something?
We have.
Oh.
Mm.
So that could happen.
It could.
Oh.
Yeah.
We're liking that. What have you got there?
The chat.
Oh, that didn't look like the chat. That looked like something else.
That's the United Review.
Awesome. Is this for Wednesday?
Yeah.
That's fast.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
No, it's tomorrow, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It's tomorrow, isn't it? I thought it was Wednesday. Yeah. Right. I've lost track. They've moved the matches that many times. Yeah. Nobody's got any idea when they are. Anyway, hello, Jonathan. Happy Monday. Yes. 1st of February, a new month. Oh, the 11th month in lockdown, just saying. Mind you, if we all lived on the Isle of Man, they've got no social distancing. Their life is back to normal. How did they manage this? Right, Boris, are you sitting listening comfortably? They closed the borders. Just saying. A bit like MacBytes headquarters. We closed the borders. We broadcast out, but we've closed the borders. Hello, Paul. Angel Delight. And it's a short month. It's really weird, I think, when you look at the calendar and it's 28 days. 4 weeks starts on a Monday, finishes on a Sunday. If only every month was like that, it would make my life a whole lot easier. Instead of which I'm like, oh no, that's going to have to go up in that corner because there's one day extra. Have you seen it's a beautiful month as well? Is it a beautiful month? Why is it a beautiful month? Have I missed something? Is it guaranteed flowers and stuff?
I have no idea.
Oh, because it formats so well. I'm with you. Oh, yes, I wish every month was like that. Although it's sometimes quite nice when you get a long month and you've got like five Saturdays in it or five Sundays. That can be quite nice as well. Never happens.
Do you know what day it is today?
It's Monday.
What else is it?
1st of February.
And it's 11 o'clock.
That doesn't mean a thing.
Transfer deadline day.
Oh, it is. Somebody said that some guy from United would be going.
Oh.
I can't remember who. Oh. Had a foreign name, but that doesn't limit it, does it?
No.
Because it's pretty much all got foreign names. I can't remember. Youngish guy. Short name. Is it something like Junior?
Rojo.
Ah, that was the fella.
Yeah.
Yes, him. Is he going?
Marcus Rojo, apparently.
Oh, right. Fair apparently enough. Is anybody coming in?
I doubt it.
Every month should be 4 weeks. It would work well, wouldn't it, Jonathan? Trouble is, we'd have to have an extra month or so.
Yeah, 13 months.
To catch up. Which would be bad news.
What would we call it?
Lockdown, probably. In honour of 2020. Hello, Anthony. I found something techie today. I know, that's surprising, isn't it? But this was funny. This was very, very funny. I saw the headline and I thought, no, clearly that's not what they mean. But apparently it is what they mean. It's all to do with the fact that we are going crazy in virtual meetings. Now, Mike and I lived in virtual meetings anyway. So we're finding this all quite amusing that people are like, oh, a virtual meeting, as though it's like amazing. But I guess for some people, they've never done virtual meetings before. But this one was a classic. You know how people buy virtual backgrounds or they use virtual backgrounds? Some people are taking that a little bit further. And apparently there's a business and their business is selling books, which explains why many, many people are sat there in front of books that probably aren't even real. This company sells these things. Have a look at that. They supply them to TV and film sets, but it's seen a rise for sales in home offices. If you scroll down, there's a couple of pictures, and it's the first one. I mean, it's the same office. The first one It's got lots of space. Who has that much space in an office? You know, I'd have boxes of supplies like cables, cable ties, the Velcro zippy things. What else have I got lying around? Electrical tape, you name it. I would not have that much space. But they've actually gone and bought books to fill a blank space. Something wrong with these people. I do think it looks more finished, the second photo. But it, I always think when somebody's in a Zoom and they've got books behind them that you can't quite make out what they are. So it's clearly not things that they're actually reading. That they're fake anyway. That they're somebody who's trying to look more intelligent than they actually are.
Yeah, we did a Teams last month and my boss was in his office and he had a load of books behind him, but they were proper books. I don't think he was trying to impress.
Well, no, the thing I'm thinking is, I can understand...
And half of them were in Greek.
Yes, but he's Greek, so that's fine.
That's true.
He's not being pretentious, he's actually Greek. But the type of people that sit in front of these books, like politicians, I think no way have you ever read anything more advanced than Janet and John. There's just no way. So they are doing it to portray themselves in a certain way. And I just think if you are a voracious reader these days, let's be honest, they're not on the shelf behind you gathering dust. They're on your Kindle where you're reading them. So I think it's a bit... If I saw a room like that, full of books like that, I'd know that they weren't reading them. But apparently that's what people are doing. They're taking it a step further. Jonathan would call the 13-month time off. Excellent point, Jonathan. I think we should run the country. I definitely do. Tell me a university that hasn't wasted money researching this. I can't understand why people go crazy in virtual meetings, but it's basically about the background. Now, you see, it doesn't bother me. I hardly ever turn my camera on anyway. And the people who do, a lot of them put up the fake backgrounds, but it doesn't bother me. But I think I remember mentioning to you, one of the YouTubers that I watch had moved house and she'd had to move house because somebody had doxed her. So that's when people release personal information about you online, including her house, and she was getting stalked. So she had to move house with her husband and three kids, which is a bit off. When she got into the new house, it acoustically wasn't as good as the original house. So she decided she'd spend money and buy a booth. Now, bearing in mind, a booth is not cheap. A booth is sort of $4,000-$5,000. So she gets this booth and she's got the microphone in it and everything. Sounds fantastic. Only thing was, the booth on the inside was like triangles of acoustic foam. She got people saying they're unsubscribing because they didn't like the look of the acoustic foam. Well, why don't you just listen instead then? What is the matter with these people? But she got a fake background of books. Not a fake background as in it's green screened. A genuine fake background. You can get backgrounds that are green screen or blue screen. Or you can get them with books on. And she got one with books on. It does look pretty cool. It does. So I don't think you need to actually go to the expense of buying the books. But, you know, that's just me. And they'll all need dusting as well. Exactly, Jonathan. That's the thing that got me. I had a pile of books and I actually find it far easier. Pro tip with a pile of books. Don't put them on a shelf the way you would put them on a shelf. No, do what I do, which is put a stack on a cupboard and stack upwards. And that way only the top one needs dusting. You can thank me later. Saves a ton of time. Ooh, Kim's back from the dentist. Of course it went well, Jonathan. This is Kim we're talking about. Of course it went well. Hello, Sarah. Oh, Anthony's got a Canon printer, floor lamp and recliner behind you on Zoom. There's nothing wrong with that, is there?
No.
I think it's better to be more, what's the word? You had a thing behind you,
authentic.
Didn't you? Yeah, authentic to what's actually there.
Yeah, we have a thing at work. Bring your authentic self to work.
As opposed to the neighbour who's doing it for you for the day.
No,
that's a fabulous idea.
As opposed to...
Oh, it's a two birds, one stone, that. You get Happy Harry with the hammer next door, 20 miles away. Oh, I'm liking that idea. Can we do that?
Yeah. No, as opposed to hiding behind a facade.
Or just turning your camera off like me.
Yeah.
I have actually been known to have my camera on. But you still won't see me because there's a sticker over the camera.
No, I mean, I think this all started with LGBT stuff.
LGBTQ plus.
Yeah.
Got it at last. Yes.
Yeah.
They keep adding
letters. How many times has that been mentioned in your school governors' meetings?
Oh, about 50 million. Have you ever tried it, though, at a Catholic school? Just imagine, the government are putting pressure on you. You know, you've got to have this policy, that policy, and make sure that everybody is included. And like, yep, that's fine. We do that anyway. And then the bishop pops up and he's telling you the complete opposite. We must support these children and convince them that they're wrong. And you're like, no, it doesn't work like that, bish. No, carry on.
No, so I think the idea is that... It's a safe environment. I mean, I'm just quoting people here because I know you're rolling your eyes.
I am.
And I can't even see you. When I say can't see you, we're in the same room.
I'm looking the other way, rolling my eyes.
You're looking at the screen. Yeah, it's a safe environment. So, I mean, you know, there is a large percentage of people at AZ who are LGBT. I know that. And some... It's a personal choice whether to come out or not. But I think the idea is, you know, if you want to come out, it's a safe environment. Be yourself.
Yes, but
so,
just a minute.
So I guess they'd encourage me, because that's another thing that's...
Encourage
there.
You to what? Is there something I don't know?
No, I'm about to say. That's another thing that seems to be taboo at work, is talking about religion and faith. I don't know why it's just one of those things that's taboo, because people probably think you're a bunch of Bible bashers. So bring my authentic self to work would mean going in and talking about the Catanians.
Yeah, it don't work that way. I was just about to say, I don't think anyone should get at anybody else for anything, right? Bullying is obscene, but so is publicly shaming for something.
Yeah.
And with me, it would be like, okay, so take your authentic self to work. Right. I won't cover the bookshelves up. Just leave them as they are. Right. And then somebody would see something on the bookshelf and you'd be crucified for it forever. Oh, you've got a Mac. I don't like Mac users. I mean, people have actually said that to me. I remember when I went to do some training and it was like, well, what computer have you got? And it's like, oh, well, I use an iMac. Oh. And their attitude totally changed. Another one was a guy who asked me what car I drove. This was way back. This was like the mid-90s. And I actually had... Yeah, so he's there with, like, I've got this and I've got that now. What do you drive? And obviously it was like one of those comments, a bit like, where are you going on your holidays at the hairdresser's? What do you drive? And at the time, I was between posh cars. I had a Yugo and I loved it. It was built like a tank, that car. If anything hit me, it would come off worse, including a tank. I love that car. So I said, actually, I've got a Yugo. And he went, oh, right. And he physically turned away from me and didn't speak to me for the rest of the day because my car didn't match his expectations. Oh, you complete. Well, I won't tell you what I thought. We get taken off air. But it begins with A and ends in hole. What an absolute idiot. So you'd only get crucified for one thing or another. The Mac Byte space is a happy space. And no one should shame anybody for anything.
No.
No matter what. Don't care.
Anyway, I've got some fun to tell you about.
I need to catch up with these. Just a minute.
I can't say Bible bashers, apparently. I've got to say God botherers.
Oh.
According to Pete.
Oh, well, Pete would know. I don't think... I mean, the ones that knock on your door... The Jehovah's Witnesses that knock on your door and want to discuss it for hours on end. You know, I can't be doing with that. You don't. You just say, like, it's a case of, if you were to say to somebody who was
LGBTQ
plus. Yeah, right. Plus I got Q. It again now. I need to write that down. No, every time I get it, they add another letter or a symbol and then it gets confusing. If you said, where'd you go last night? And they said the gay village. You're like, yes, that's great. If they say to you, what did you do Sunday? Went to church. You can't say that.
Totally. And that's what I'm saying. Kim says, I don't understand why you can't talk about religion.
I think
you
they
can
all...
talk about it, but...
But expect to be blackballed if you do.
Yeah, it's, yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
That is what happens. They yeah. automatically feel that you're trying to convert them. But I don't feel the same if they've been off to the gay village. It's just like, great, did you have a good time? It, but they don't look at it the same way. So you it's frowned upon, big style. Oh.
Anyway.
I'm trying to catch up on this chat.
Right, well, you
before can... if I catch up on this chat and then start answering and saying things, it's going to be way out there.
Well, I'll go and do the dishes then, shall I?
Jonathan has his clean washing on show, but it was by accident.
Jonathan's gone.
Oh well, there you go. That's what I mean. I can't wait any longer. So give me a couple of minutes here, crying out loud. Jonathan's washing was fun to see. Laugh if it was. Like he said, nobody noticed. They'd sure notice something, like if you had a Bible there. True. Mind you, they'd be onto Mummy Isaacs if they saw you there with a Bible. Is Janet and John the UK's Dick and Jane? Yes. Yes, it is. I didn't know yours were called Dick and Jane. I just assumed it was Janet and John everywhere. Hello, Pete. Oh, first day of leave. Looking forward to getting up at 5. Ooh, is this for the move, or are you back at work? Let me know. Honest is a good word. Yes, honest, Anthony. But people don't, do they? They start like... I mean, if I was on a Zoom and you guys saw me, you'd be thinking, what's that potted plant doing there? There's no way that's hers. Because you know me. But I might feel obliged to put a potted plant there. Or a pot head. From MFI, do you remember those?
Yeah.
My mum used to go in MFI. She very seldom bought from there because, like, she wanted stuff that fitted in certain places. So if it fitted, great. But if not, she'd meander around and she'd be looking at shelves and saying, that's not a bad design. And then she'd come back and she'd design one, and then Muggins would have to build it. Muggins being the woodwork expert, on top of the electrics expert, on top of everything else. But every time we went round MFI, they'd got like cupboards, and instead of putting books in them, they had these pot heads, just like the shape of a head made out of pot. And I looked at these pot heads and I'm like, is this a thing? Is this what people do? They buy a cabinet that would take like 500 weight of books, and instead of actually using the space, they put a pot head in it. We do not have a pot head in the house. So if you see my thing here and you spot a pot head, it's not me. It's a doppelganger, because I don't own a pot head. Paul doesn't do the camera on the team meetings either. I find it quite distracting. I do. And Kim has a Seahawks background. Everyone knows it's not real. Mike did have one off the Old Trafford Stadium that could have been like one of the exec boxes. That was a good one that you had there, Mike. That could have been. Pete's catching up on his sleep.
I did my camera the other day to show off my new hairdo.
Oh, yeah. It looks rather good, if I say so myself. Has Pete seen it yet? I don't know if Pete was there on Friday. Catching up on paperwork and trying to get fit. Oh. Oh, and a year-long backlog. Advice after hours to catch up with. Pete, don't miss Friday. This coming Friday. This coming Friday, finally, we are that far into the Notion 2021. We are building a learning management system on Friday. So you won't want to miss that one. God bother us. I've not heard that one. I've heard dog bother us.
Oh, I've heard of
God. We say dog bothering all the time. Don't dog bother me. And what that means is, when my dad was here, Maya was a puppy. He was probably about 4 months old. And we were like, it was like having a baby. If you got him to sleep, leave him asleep. Lola's incredibly laid back. Maya, no. If he got disturbed, that was it. Instead of just like lifting his head and going, yeah, fine, and going back to sleep, no. It was a full 3 hour playtime then. So we just got him to sleep. And I said, do not wake the dog. All right, as he went outside for a cigarette. He disappears outside, and the next we hear is, hello, boy. Hello, boy. Good boy. I thought, I'm going to murder him. Obviously, my father, not the dog. And that woke the dog up, and then the dog started. And we were trying to keep him quiet because Mum wanted to watch that thing in LA. No, Las Vegas. One of the crime things, the original one. Not NCIS, the other thing. The crime thing. Is it CSI? The original CSI could be.
CSI.
She wanted to watch that. So, of course, the dog was doing the Fandango then, and I nearly brained him. So the term dog bothering came from that we would say to each other, don't dog bother, meaning don't let sleeping dogs lie. So, yeah, God bother probably comes from that. Oh. I totally agree, Kim. I mean, it was LGBT at one point, wasn't it? And then it was LGBTQ. And now there's a plus on the end. And I do realise each individual bit of it means something. But it's difficult to say. And I thought I kind of had it. And then I went to educational thing for governors. And they had people there from Stonewall. And it was amazing. The way that they... Because I'm like, whatever you are, I really don't mind. Whatever you want to be, just be it. Whatever. As long as you leave me alone, I'll leave you alone. But there was a lot of people there who were older than me that were like, I don't understand this. And I did learn by the end of it that I was cisgender. I had no idea what that was when I walked through the door. I came home and I said to Mike, you're cisgender. And he went, what? He didn't have a clue either. So it was a really good session, that. You need a new shortcut key. I do. I need to put that. If I'm going to put that in a script for anything, I need to get that into Typinator, don't I? Because I always get the letters the wrong way around. And the thing is, you know, I don't mean any harm. I just don't know what's in this week. I don't actually have my finger on the pulse of that LGBTQ plus is now plus A, B, C, D, E, F and G as well. I don't know that. I don't mean any harm by it. Oh. Saw you in a Zoom meeting and something looked out of place. I'd be sure to ask you about it. Like, Elaine, what kind of plant is that? Yeah, wouldn't know. Do you know what the answer would be, Kim? Plastic. Whatever it looks like, it would be plastic. And I did actually contemplate getting a plant. Apparently, greenery in the office, even if it's plastic, kind of fools your brain into feeling better. And I thought I could get a plant. And then I looked round and I thought, where exactly are you thinking of putting that? And thought, no, there's no room because there's too many cables. So I left it. But there you go. The answer to that would be plastic. Wasn't there on Friday. What did you miss? Mike's new hair. Just dropped out before the big reveal. It was CSI. You're quite right. Oh, Sarah's excited about that one. Is this because you're creating courses, Sarah, or taking courses? Isn't plastic an official type of plant? Because it is here. If it's got flowers on it. No, in fact, I'll go further than that. If it's not dead, it's plastic. So the answer would be one or the other, dead or plastic. But you probably wouldn't ask if it was dead. You'd just be thinking, what on earth is that thing that looks like a triffid in the corner? Do you know, I see other people with fantastic plants, like 6 foot things with huge green leaves. And then I they're like, and there's the plant. And some of these YouTubers, if they move their plant, they get complaints. Where's the plant gone? I like the plant. And you're thinking, it's a prop. But they get quite attached to it. And then I see them having to rub oil into it. And I'm thinking, do you know what? It's just one more thing to keep alive. So leave it be. Leave it be. So Pete obviously missed your hair.
Yes.
But your hair's lovely.
It is.
Isn't it? Are you going to tell Pete who did your hair?
You did.
I did. Mm. Well, it would have to have been, wouldn't it? Or it would have been illegal and you wouldn't be talking about it because you're not like an idiot footballer. No, I did it. It was scary. Good evening to you, Renee. How are you? And Sarah says, I'm doing a 300-hour yoga course. Oh, wow. Wow. And you want to keep a track of all the topics and subtopics. You like to see smiley faces to say you've completed bits. OK, we can do that. Good evening to you, Tracy. How is baby Tracy? Fingers crossed. Prayers were said. Pete, Mohawk. I was tempted. I will say I was tempted. But no, I didn't. My computer's called Mohawk, if you remember. It was amazing because when Mike goes to the hairdressers, it's shears, isn't it? What do you call them?
Clippers.
Well, I didn't think that was a good idea because I had visions of it turning into a mohawk, Pete. So I decided it was probably wiser to use a pair of scissors. But given how much of it there was, it took quite a while, didn't it?
Yes.
And then, of course, you've got like tufts all over the place. And then I actually needed to shape it. And I did the whole thing with a pair of scissors. Thank you, Kim. Thank you. I mean, I said to Mike I would do it, you know, months ago. It's like, oh, there's no panic. But, you know, you'd really do learn who your friends are. Because when he went on the Catanians meetings, he's like, look at the state of your hair. What's that got to do with his ability to do the job? That's what I'm saying. You know, the you've got like the Black Lives Matter, so it's really politically incorrect, which it's wrong on any level, racism. But then so sexism, and so sizeism, and all the other isms. But some of them are deemed to be more acceptable than others. So apparently it's okay to laugh at somebody's hair. But if you mention that their gender identification, then you're knackered. Which you should just leave people be. So his hair was like that. Like Mike pointed out, he said, what if it had been like that when they first saw him? Because I knew a lady from the school, and she was talking about her daughter and saying that she was pregnant, and they were really happy. It was the first grandchild. And then she said, when they'd had the baby, they're coming to church. She said, have you seen my daughter? And I said, no. She said, well, she'll be the one with the guy with the hair. I said, pardon. She said, he's got a lot of hair. You'll know the one when you see him. And I thought, a lot of hair? Well, whatever. It didn't bother me. Gets to church, sees him. She was quite right. He had a lot of hair. It was like curly and black, but a lot of it. And I thought, so what? But that's how she described her own son-in-law. He's got a lot of hair. People should just leave everybody be, and wouldn't the world be wonderful? I should be in charge of the world, you know. And then it really would be wonderful. So no, it didn't end up as a mohawk. I think I missed a trick there, Pete, actually, on reflection. You know, like the mid-stage, where you've got like the man bun went first and then the rest kind of fanned out, and it was like, the man bun's off, but I'm going to need to do something with the rest of it. Just tell them you... I've never heard of that one. Kinky hair syndrome. Oh, that would put him in a protected class, wouldn't it? Why doesn't everybody just be nice to everybody else? And then we wouldn't need all this rubbish. Has anybody seen this new programme? It's a Sin. People are raving over it, but I've no idea where you would find it. Is it a Netflix thing? Or is it something else? Oh, Channel 4. Oh, I'm never going to see that, not Channel 4. Apparently, it's about the AIDS crisis in the 80s, but I think you can binge watch it, probably online. But apparently, it's very, very good. Now, you see, on the BBC site, underneath this in related topics, it says LGBT. Where's the Q and the plus? Naughty, naughty. What else was going on today? Oh, yes, I know. Let me go back to that. I had one open in there that was something about five. There it is, yeah. So the Isle of Man have got no more social distancing. And the UK have ordered 40 million doses of Valneva. Was that the one that came out last week? Because I'm now totally confused. The UK have secured 407 million doses. More than enough for the entire population. Yeah, like five times over. This is scary beans, isn't it? Tracy's got the draining board behind her on both Zoom calls. What's wrong with that? It's authentic. Remember, it's authentic. Oh, Kim has had many male friends with hair much longer than Mike is. It must be a British thing then. Or maybe it's just a Catanian thing. That wouldn't surprise me. But, you know, if you criticise them for the fact that they're bald or the fact that they've got very little hair or that their hair is, like, receding and grey, that would be wrong. But they can just laugh at your hair or laugh at whatever. One thing used to drive me insane, and at first, I must admit, I did take it as a joke, and it's not how you look. It's not anything about how you look. But the way that they went on, it did get me to the point where I had had more than enough. Nina and Rachel like going out shopping for clothes and shoes, and I do not at all. You know, we're talking bordering on a phobia. Anyway, because it was Mike's P year, they decided that for the ladies' night, I should get a ball gown. Now, do you think I own a ball gown? No. I think, honestly, the last thing I went out, apart from that coat, that time I remember mentioning a coat that I got. I think the last time I went anywhere and was actually stood in the shop long enough for them to actually like put things on you and then decide what changes needed to be made was my gown for graduation. because I didn't hire one. I actually bought one. Mum and dad bought it for me. So we were down at Eden Ravenscroft in London, Chancery Lane, where the ones that supply the barristers, and we were having an absolute ball. And I stood there while they did all the measurements and that, and get the length right and then the fitting right. That was the last time. Well, I thought they were joking about this ball gown. So, oh, that's funny. Not, but never mind. You know, when you stood there and you got a painted smile on your face thinking, I want to murder you, but I won't. So I said, yeah, not happening. They would not let up. It was like, we're going to book an appointment. There's some fancy clothes shop where you make an appointment, and I think three people from the church went there to get their wedding dresses. And I'm like, not happening. And it was, oh, no, that's what we do. They turn it into like an extravaganza that you go out for the day and you decamp at this place. And it's basically like a little party. And you pick out what you want to try on. And then you go in the changing rooms and people come with you like, that's not happening. Trust me. But apparently to get in these frocks, you'd need somebody to do you up. And my eyes are like saucers. To me, that's worse than going to the doctors. And we all know how much I love doing that. So I'm still at the stage of saying, sounds lovely. No. And they went on and on and on. Now, at the same time, they were pushing Mike over something. But I can't remember what it was. You know, oh, you need this. You need to do that. You need to do this. And they were still going on about the ball gowns. And then it got on to shoes to match the ball gown. Honestly, I nearly had a breakdown in the end. I said to Mike, you know this thing about the ball gowns? And Mike said, yeah. And then he said, don't say any more. So I said, why? He said, because I'm going to tell you what you're thinking. And I thought, that's unusual. It's usually the other way around. He said, you've had enough, haven't you? Because it's just not funny. I said, that's exactly what I was going to say, actually. So sometimes it's not anything that you should be ashamed of. It's just something that you don't like, has bad associations for you. And they go on and on and on because they love whatever it is. And I actually find that offensive. I really do find that offensive. Do you remember, Kim, when Kath found out you were a dentist? She was mortified. She hates the dentist. Absolutely cannot be doing with the dentist. And she said she can't even bear to hear the word. So how bad would it be if I was there saying, oh, I went to the dentist this week. Look, he's done this bit here. Been to the dentist. I'm going to the dentist next week. Dentist, dentist, dentist. She would, she'd probably start shaking and eventually collapse. But she certainly wouldn't want to sit with you or talk to you because it's a trigger for her. But nobody seems to appreciate what triggers me, because what triggers me doesn't trigger them. If I said to them, don't talk about dentists, it triggers me, they'd get that. But if I say, can you please not talk about ball gowns and shoes, because, you know, really, you're winding me up. The thought of going into a ball gown shop and stripping off in the changing rooms with everybody watching, no. How many ways can I say no? That's not a good idea. And that's not happening. And it triggers me. But they just think it's hysterical. So I think that's why how come half of it happens. Oh dear. I should have tried wax on Mike's head, actually. Mind you, there's still scope, Pete. We could be in lockdown for another year at this rate. Kim's had a senator who's had both his vaccine shots and now has COVID. How? Is he the one in 10 that it didn't work for? That's scary. Do they no longer have Angel Delight powder to make your own? Not Angel Delight, Tracy. You can get it from Morrison's, but it's Morrison's own. So I've not seen Angel Delight powder. They're making way more money from these pots because, honest to God, they're the size of a thimble. And, I mean, they're not expensive, like 40-odd pence. But if you think of the price of what the powder used to be and you could make a bucket full with it, then it's exorbitantly expensive. You're like the Bristol Bucks by the yard firm. Isn't it amazing the things that people will do and buy? Oh, good grief. Ladybird first readers, I remember those as well. But I did have Janet and John. And you know, very, very young, Mum had some flashcards, phonetic flashcards. and they had the text on both sides, and then how you pronounced it was tiny at the bottom. One side of them had a sans serif font, and the other side had a serif font. So the child got to see it in both ways, because obviously you're working from symbols if you think about it. And I always used to prefer the sans serif font. Didn't know any better, but I just preferred it. I liked it that way. And I see Renee was ahead of everybody. Marrying a hairdresser. What foresight there. That's genius. LGB, hang on, LBGT. Oh, don't confuse me, Tracy. And you've forgotten the plus. I just accept everybody. Problem solved. Problem solved. Oh, Tracy here. Pete's made Angel Delight. So clearly it does still happen. Morrison didn't have any. They only had the piddly parts. And you need much more than a piddly part. Kim says, you can't even imagine what it's like at a party for me. Everyone complaining about their dentists. Ruins the evening for you. You actually quit going to one group you belong for that reason. There you go. You see, that's the point. I remember a barrister when I was 18. I was doing my A-levels at home on my own. So I wasn't actually at college. And Mum watched this programme where it was a weird programme. Local businesses offered experiences or whatever. And you could write in and say, pick me, pick me. And one of them, they approached a barrister, a very well-known barrister, Narayan. He was a superstar, a legend barrister. And he offered two places for a week at Chambers, which was unheard of. So I endeavoured to get myself down there. And I did get one of the places. The other person that got a place was also doing A-level law. She dropped out after 2 days. I thought, what's the matter with you? This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Well, one of the barristers, you know, he was of an age, so you would have thought, I mean, he hadn't taken silk, but he must have been in his 50s. He'd been at it for a long time. And he used to come in on the bus, and you're thinking, but, you know, as a barrister, aren't you like driving a Mercedes? Well, apparently not. And he said, as the conversation got to going to parties, and he said, oh, God, I've stopped telling people I'm a lawyer. And, you know, when you're a student and you're like, but I want to say I'm a lawyer because I've worked hard for it. And he said, no. He said, don't ever do that. And he said, one, people didn't like lawyers. But two, it was then like, I guess a bit like doctors get if you say you're a doctor. Well, I've got this pain in my back. What do you think it could be? And with the lawyers, it was like, oh, I've got this argument with my neighbour. So he said, don't ever tell him you're a lawyer. So I kept that piece of advice. Do you know, he was quite right. But I think it's the same no matter what you do. It'll go one of two ways. They'll either hate what you do and then you'll get a load of grief like Kim's getting, or they'll need you. And that happened to us at church. What do? We work in computers. And all of a sudden it was like, I've got this computer and it's not working. Can you have a look at it? One was a friend of a friend, a brother of one of them. And apparently he was barking crazy. I mean, literally lock upable crazy. And you'd get messages from him. He was using an Android, and I don't know how on earth he sent text messages that long, but they would go on for pages. So I think it's just not quite as bad, probably, but I wouldn't particularly say it was a lawyer, put it like that. Oh, what's Pete got there? I've got that link from Pete. Let's have a look. We should have... Do you know, Paul, that is a genius idea. We should design a triggers card to hand out before polite conversation. Some of it to me is obvious. You know, I mean, if somebody, like, I wouldn't go crazy if people said, like, clothes shopping. You know, I wouldn't, like, break down into a heap. But it's a bit like if I say, yeah, that's great, but, you know, that doesn't work for me. It's not something I enjoy doing. Leave it alone. It's the fact that this went on for at least a year. Every time they set eyes on it, it's like, when are we going to do that shopping? Well, I thought we should book it. And I'm like, oh, God, here we go again. It was all like the same conversation. And I think whatever it is, once is fine. But if you're then told, you know what, I actually don't enjoy talking about that, you know, I have a problem with it, then walk away and leave it alone. But they don't. They don't. So actually, it's a saving grace. I said to Mike, I know like we can't get to church. Well, we could, but we're not, because we're not stupid. Oh, apparently, did you know you're not allowed to turn the heating on in churches? The church is freezing. In the middle of July heat wave, it's freezing. Can you imagine it in January? It's huge. It's cavernous. They can't turn the heating on. So you've been told to turn up. You can't sing. You can't speak to anybody. You can sit and listen to him. You can take the host if you are criminally insane, because he isn't wearing a mask. I wondered about that as well. They can do all of that, but you can't sing, you can't talk to anybody, and you've got to wear like a fur coat because it's freezing. So we're not doing that, which means that we don't get to go and have coffee afterwards. But the upside of that is no one's mentioned clothes shopping for a year. It's been fabulous. So, but I do like the idea there. I'm liking that idea, Paul. I need a triggers card. Shall I get A3? Just to make sure there's enough room. Oh, that's looking rather nice, that. It looks a little bit like, not exactly a shepherd's pie, but I'm liking the potatoes. I am liking that. Yes, definitely need to have a look. I'll pass it along to Mike, who's out there playing with the dog. Sans Serif has always been the best. Totally agree, Renee. Absolutely. Always worth telling people you're a pathologist for that reason. I could possibly pass for a pathologist. I've watched that many true crime things. I'll try that, Pete. There you go. I will try that. It's a bit like when you tell people you work with computers. I'm having this problem with my printer. Totally, Anthony.
We've
been given all signs that are garbage. Did you do that?
What?
Make a big mistake and tell people you work with computers.
I was just going to say, it must have been about 15, 20 years ago. I was in a taxi. What do you do then? I work with computers. Right, I've got this problem with my Internet Explorer.
What gets me is when it's something like...
Right, I tell you what, I'll give you the answer and you give me a free ride in your taxi.
No, the thing that gets me is when it's stuff like... You say you work with computers. That's like Pete saying he's a doctor. That doesn't mean he's a gynaecologist. It doesn't mean he's a brain surgeon. There are different kinds of doctors. Well, there's different kinds of working with IT. And it'll be, I've got this Windows machine. It's running Windows 3.1. And you're like, oh, my God. I work with Macs. I am very, very, very good with Macs. I could probably make a stab at a PC, but it wouldn't be my first choice. But if you say, like, I mean, I did actually say this to one guy because I thought, I'm not doing it. I'm just not getting involved with it. This was the guy who had wanted to update his virus protection. So instead of going to McAfee.com or whatever the address is, he typed McAfee update into Google and clicked on a link. Don't do that. He ended up with spyware on it. So he said, his problem was it wouldn't get somewhere. And I went and I looked at it and I said, you know, what are you doing with this? And I thought, oh, dear me. You know, on a Mac, I fortunately...
Wasn't wirehouse.gov, was it?
I don't know where it was, but I thought I could probably deal with it, but it would take longer than it's worth my while doing. Plus the fact I can't charge the amount that it would really take me in time for that job, because somebody who does that job all the time can do it faster than I can. So I said, I think you need to go to... Was it Mel's or Mal's?
Mel's.
I think you need to go to Mel's. I gave him Mel's number. And Mel dealt with it. Mel is he's got a shop locally and he's the PC guy. So just send him to Mel's, which I did. But I'm liking the pathologist bit as well. I could do with something like that in IT, couldn't I? Something like, we don't want data recovery, but something similar. Somebody who finds all the porn on stuff and rats you up.
Yeah.
Like that. Then they wouldn't give you the machine, would they?
I'll tell you my little story from today.
I know everything that's wrong with you, but always 2 days too late. Like that. Go on, what happened to you?
You know what happened to me, but the listeners don't. My boss pings me and says, if you've got 2 minutes...
You're right, I do.
What?
I know what happened, so I'm giggling. Carry on.
Ah, my boss pinged me and he said, if you've got 2 minutes, I've got an Excel question for you. Yeah, first, actually, he says he first pinged and he says, "How are you?" And my first thought was, "What have I done, or what do you want? Am I in trouble?" So he says, I could do with your help with Excel." So we start speaking on the Teams, and he says, "All it is I want to create a pivot table and create a chart." He says, "My problem is, first of all, it's Excel for Mac." I thought, well, that's okay. I know Excel for Mac. He says, and the second thing is in Greek, because he's Greek.
So the interface was in Greek.
So the interface is in Greek. So we start trying to work through it, working out which button is which and which menu command is which. And I said, you know what? I've got a Mac on my desk. I said, I've got my own Mac sitting behind my AZ laptop. Let me go and turn that on, go into Excel and work out the order of the menu. So we did that. Anyway, I sorted him out in the end, which was it was like, no, that button there. No, move across. One more. Move across. One more. And he says, in Windows, it's easy to change the language. Just go into Control Panel. He said, on a Mac, you have to do it through the terminal. I don't know if that's true or not.
To do what with it?
To change it back to English.
You shouldn't have to do that in the terminal. There's a language setting.
I thought so.
And system
as well.
Preferences. And when the Mac app, the Office apps, have their own language settings as well, so you could set that independently. I remember being on, do you remember the course I did in October where I just didn't sleep for October? One of the people, support staff, there was like the main guy doing the course and then there was like 20 others. And you could pick which sessions you went to. So I picked this girl. She was very good, but she was Canadian and French Canadian at that. So her setup, when you looked at her Mac, it was in French. Well, we all know my language skills. Somewhat underdeveloped, I think, would be an adequate term. And I'm looking and I thought, well, I know that that one is the window menu because I do know that Fenêtre means window. And it was really weird to see something that I associated with like a window in a house, meaning the same on the computer. I mean, I know I should have twigged it, but it's just seeing it in context.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you what Greek is for pivot table.
Well, Greek uses a different alphabet as well, doesn't it? So there's more characters to deal with. It's like Russian. I mean, I speak a little bit of Russian, but would not know. I doubt I know that to look at, because the alphabet's different. So guess who's going to be the socialist candidate for president of Catalonia in the regional elections? The ex-Spanish Prime Minister of Health, Minister of Health, the one who made a big zero of the restrictions. Is he being promoted to his own level of incompetence, Tracy? What theory was that? Do you remember it? Like the Elton...
Yeah.
The what's it experiments, the Hawthorne experiments. And another one was promoted to your own level of incompetence. That. Oh, so Renee got a call this afternoon from someone who asked
him... It's a pizza principle.
That's the one. To install Windows on her PC via TeamViewer. I don't think it works like that. Pete, that would be a genius idea. Tell them you only work in Ubuntu. Do you know, I do that apart from one thing. I'm sat there in the presbytery at church doing the count one night. In fact, were you there? Was it the count or was I doing a support thing? Anyway, I'm minding my own business. When the other priest comes in, the one who lives in Birmingham, with his laptop under his arm and puts the laptop down, starts rabbiting away with himself, something about ordering something on Amazon, and leaves him to it. He disappears out the room. This laptop pings. He said, "Is that an email?" I looks at this thing. I thought, what the hell is this? I was expecting Windows. It had Linux on it. And I thought, who the hell has put this on there? Because there's no way. I mean, you wouldn't buy this laptop like that. It was a branded laptop that would have come with Windows. I backed off. So if I say I work with Ubuntu, I could be in trouble there. Now, telling them I'm a COBOL programmer, I bet you smiled at that, Mike. We have a funny story about that. I know Paul was a COBOL programmer. Ah, well, the Peter principle aptly named. Oh, Pete. When we joined the church and we said we work with computers, one of the guys there would wander up and say, I was a COBOL programmer, you know. And he'd give us chapter and verse on being a COBOL programmer, wouldn't he? And his, like, adventures. And all the times that he, like, walked into a business and turned the business around because he could program in COBOL and spot the errors in it and all of that. And we would sit there quite politely and nod. You know, oh, that's great. Yeah, oh, that's fantastic. I think he thought at this stage I was like a glorified secretary and could type a bit. So this went on for a good few months. And then something happened, and it was like I needed to do something, basically, to set a machine up. And he watched, and it was like he had no idea what was going on. There was like, well, that needs to link with the iPad, and then the phone needs to set up with that. And he put the watch with that, and then attach that to iCloud and do this and do that. And he just sat there, like, watching, like, moving his fingers, like, picking at his nails. Never mentioned being a COBOL programmer ever again after that. And we had that chapter and verse. Oh, I need to come up with something, though. You're quite right. Good morning, Paul. How are you? Oh, Kim has moved to phase two. You can now do almost everything but dancing and gymnastics. You don't really understand because the cases are almost 8 times higher than last summer. And you just got the UK variant. Yeah, that's... We're going the other way. It's a bit weird. If they'd have been really strict... After about 9 weeks, I don't think we'd be where we are now. But the stats are horrific. But at least they're saying there won't be like an end to this, you know, where we just, like VE Day, there won't be one single day. It will be a matter of easing it gently and all the rest of it. You're like, well, why didn't we do that last time, Boris, instead of having the 4th of July party that you had? Do you remember when restrictions were lifted on the 4th of July and it was a free-for-all? Yeah, that. And then where were we a month later, Boris? Oh, yeah, cases on the rise. So now there's the vaccine, but then, like you've said, somebody's caught it and they've had the vaccine. I know of a nurse who had the vaccine and the second thing, and she got COVID. It's all a bit concerning at the moment. I just sit here leaning back thinking, do you know what, you can't do a darn thing, woman. Just lean back and let it happen, and keep checking the news every now and then, but not believing a word of it. Believe what you guys say way more than anything on the news, and just see how it pans out. But it's going to be interesting because it was a year, wasn't it, on Saturday, since the first death in the UK. I could have sworn the death was after we'd come back from Alverston. Because I'm thinking, we went to Alverston about the 21st of February. You know, and if we'd already had deaths, why wasn't I worried at Alverston? And I wasn't. You know, yes, I had my hand sanitizer with me, and they have hand sanitizer literally around every corner at Alverston. But that's usually for the norovirus. So there's always something because people are close together. But I don't remember there being a death that early because I don't remember me climbing the walls at Alverston. We will have to see. Oh, time to watch the pandas. Funny you should mention that, Kim. Let me get that link. Look what I found. No, not that one. That one there. Oh, look at his little face. There we go. Found that one today. Adorable. To answer the earlier question, you're not sure how Dr. B is because he came off duty this morning and he's saying it's his fiancée's tonight. He needs to let you know, otherwise you'll be worrying. Oh, he's a bad boy. I presume you'd have heard it if it had got worse. So fingers crossed it's getting better. And he's just not keeping his mummy in the loop. Bit like your mother this morning. Have you had the vaccine yet? You will have the vaccine, won't you, Mike? Like you said, yeah, whenever, 2023. Oh, and here's another one. So you can see, Kim, I've been very, very busy on the panda front, unsurprisingly. But they are adorable. Oh, if only I could have a panda. Lola would like a panda, wouldn't she? Maya would have adored a panda. He wanted to be black, did Maya? He identified as black. Hence, rolling in mud. Disemboweling a toner cartridge. You name it. If it was filthy, he did it. He identified as black. And when he did see a black dog like that one at the car boot we went to, we don't know whether he went mad at this dog, which was a chow, a black chow. Gorgeous looking dog. We don't know whether he went mad at it because it was a black dog and he wasn't when he wanted to be. Or whether it was a red cravat that the dog had on, one or the other, but he took offence at it. Oh, dear. Dr. C would have told you. I'm sure that would have happened, so fingers crossed. He's just been a lad, he's feeling much better and getting on with life. That's what we're all going to hope, anyway. Oh, I wonder when anything will happen here on the improvement front. Because it's not great at the moment. Let me reach a look. Oh, I tell you what happened today that I was beside myself about. Did not appreciate this at all. The South African variant is causing problems in the UK. So they're trying to track and trace it. Or test and trace it, they're trying to do. Which, you know, if they'd have been doing this since last year and doing it properly, we wouldn't be in the mess we're in now, just saying. So they've decided what they'll do is you can test yourself. They have identified a certain number of postcodes. I am not sure how many. Let's have a look. Does it tell us how many? Oh, there's Matt Hancock, so he must be lying. Right, let's have a look. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. They have identified 8 postcodes. Now, postcodes like the zones that you have in the States. Our M33 postcode, would you say about 250,000 people? Something like that. So they can be quite big or they can be small if it's like a village. Well, they've identified 8 of them, 3 of them in London. And they are sending out test kits to everybody in the postcode to test themselves and send them back so they can track down this and hopefully control the South African variant. And I said to Mike, OMG, let me see which the 8 postcodes are. 3 are in London, 1's in Walsall, which is also down there, isn't it? Maidstone in Kent, which is down on the south coast. Hertfordshire, down south. Woking, down south. And Southport, PR9, which is Preston. The city would be Preston. That's probably about 50 miles away. Now, technically speaking, if you're doing your own test, then you're not having to go to a test centre, so there's no risk. I said to Mike, that'd go straight in the bin. But the problem is, if they send you one, you don't send it back. They'll probably come knocking at the door. But I don't want to take one. I can't possibly have COVID. I've not been anywhere. What's in my mind is the last time they had this, we'll drop something off at your house going on, they did. And it was the university sending it to medical students. And if the medical students were okay, then they could go in and work. So they sent them these tests to their home. You might remember what happened. They were dropped off and being medical students and wanting to, you know, let's do the test and let's get it back. A house full of male medical students did that and probably other ones as well. And the people who were dropping them off, not 5 minutes later, rocked up again at the front door knocking, trying to get these tests back because instead of dropping off the new tests, they dropped off used ones. Yes, used tests. And these lads had tested themselves with them. And one of these guys said he felt like he felt like rape. That he had inadvertently exposed himself to something and he was beside himself. And I thought, so somebody, some idiot, posts through your door, something looks like a test and you expect me to trust that and use it? Not happening. Luckily, we're not one of the postcodes yet. Hope the nasal swabs. I don't know. I've no idea. And I'm hoping never to see one ever, ever, ever. Oh. What episode of Matt Bites After Hours did Mike start doing his Excel sessions? You started to get into it after trying to fix the horrendous rotor sheet. The rotor sheet from hell. You're doing 40... going back to basics. 40 something. Autumn 2019.
The first recording I've got is 43.
There you go. After hours 43.
I may have done some before that. I can probably tell you.
You probably did odd bits, I would have thought. Yeah. Maybe an intro to it. Oh, swabs. Pete, I'm going to have to put this on my trigger list. Anything medical, anything to do with clothes. But if you want to talk computers with me, feel free. Right, let's have a look. I am not sticking anything up my nose or anywhere else. I'm the sensible one on the planet, not being out.
Chicken in the air sticker, Dutch air.
Oh, Pete, we did that the other day. Did you see the cover on the front of the Star? Imagine eating your cornflakes with that. No, 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 Pete. That's not happening. Why would you need to do that? There's a lot of stuff goes on with this stuff that I think, like, just why? Why? That's not happening. I don't think you were in the other day, Pete, when I shared why that's not happening. Particularly why that's not happening. I don't care how accurate it is. I mean, you could well be right, because if you remember, didn't Mrs. Simon have a test and they told her she was negative, but she wasn't? I still don't think she'd want one of those tests. No, I'll tell you why it's not happening. There was when my dad was fit and healthy, he would go out and just randomly clear people's drives of snow and stuff. And he did this for a couple across the road. And they were really moved that somebody would do that, because neither of them could leave the house if it was snowy, because they were quite bad on their legs. Anyway, they got in touch and said thank you and everything, and we started talking. So when my dad died, we went over to tell them that he died, because they were like, you know, waving to him and stuff when he was out, and we didn't want them to think he'd just disappeared, you know, and then nobody tell them what happened. So we went across and we told him that he died, and it turned out that the guy had got cancer. Now, I think the cancer was lung cancer. Yeah, it was lung cancer. And he had like oxygen that he had in the house. Anyway, they decided that they'd give him the once over and test him for, not testicular cancer, the other one. The one that dad did have that, didn't they? Prostate cancer.
Oh, yeah.
So they got him in an ambulance and took him to the hospital to give him a very quick test to see if he had prostate cancer. I have no idea. I mean, I know what that test involves, and I have no idea how anything could go quite so badly wrong. But he then ended up inside having an operation for reconstructive surgery of the derriere region. And I'm just like, what the actual? He didn't even have prostate cancer. But then he had to suffer through the reconstructive surgery. I mean, what were they using? A hose pipe? I have no idea. So when that came up, that test, I'm like, yep, that's not happening. Absolutely, Pete. I don't know what they used, but he was ill for weeks and weeks. So I was like, he didn't have a prostate. Possibly not. Possibly not. I have no idea. But I remember him coming back. He couldn't sit down. I mean, before he was sat in a chair, he couldn't sit down comfortably. So then he ended up having to like lie on his side, which wasn't comfortable with the breathing gear. It took them about 3 to 4 weeks to get him in for an operation. And I said, sort of, is he okay? Thinking it was the cancer. And she said, oh, yes, it all went wrong when he went for that prostate test. And I'm thinking, how far wrong can you go? I mean, I should know the answer to my own question, to be honest, because that's not the first one I've heard of. So they then had to take him in, and he never really recovered. He died about 6 months later. But that made like his last 6 months way worse than it could have been. And what difference would it have made if he had prostate cancer? He was dying anyway. So what do you need to know for? Put a tick in a box. I don't understand it. Just leave people be. Stop when you get to the elbows, generally a joke. Yeah, not in this case, Pete. You've not worked in the north, have you? It's like, how far can you go here? No, the other one was actually my aunt, and she had, what's the one they do with the women? Smear test. She got sent home, said she wasn't feeling well. They literally said to her, you're just moaning. 3 days later, her stomach swelled like a basketball, and she ended up in A&E. They'd gone that far wrong, and you know, I've got a vague idea of the geography of this, but you would have a much more better view of the geography of this. I don't know how on earth they'd managed it from a smear test. They'd given her a double hernia. So she wasn't joking about being in a lot of pain, and they had to dive her back in and then fix this double hernia. And then I get letters that say, would you like to come in for a smear test? Like, no. short answer. No. If it's below the hairline, I'm not interested. Or above the toes. Above the toes or below the hairline. Everything else is fine. And that's why. How can you go that far wrong? So when I say, like, I'd rather have somebody doing an injection that actually had some experience rather than a volunteer from the Sun who's injected a banana twice, that would be why. That would be why. My experience, not good. So it's uncomfortable, but you wouldn't need reconstructive surgery. I have no idea what they did. No idea. But it did not end well. It didn't. Other side of the north. Ah, but they're tough over that side, aren't they? I don't know. But there's just two occasions. And those... I work on the principle, you know, the experience that I had as a lawyer working in medical malpractice. Obviously, the figures there are going to be skewed because I wasn't doing cases on anything else. So 100% of the caseload was medical malpractice. So I have to consider, like, yeah, but you only saw the cases where it went wrong. And there's probably like 90 times, well, let's say 10% went wrong. The other 90% were fine. And I don't see any of the other 90%. So I try and talk myself into it on that basis. But these were people I actually knew. And I know that they were fine before, and I know they were not fine after. Laugh if it was with my aunt. She didn't, I don't think she even put a complaint in. And I thought, you've got to be joking. They whipped her in that fast to get it sorted out because they knew that they'd caused the problem. But how? I mean, was it the first time whoever did it had done it? No, I'm not going there. And then, of course, my own experience of the 37 times, and finally I've got a blood sample. Can you imagine submitting yourself to something more serious with somebody like that? Probably not. But there you go. Oh, what a giggle we have. So we're into, do we know what week number we're into? Because now we're into February. We're very, 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 very close, aren't we, to a year. The way it's going, we're not even going to be out of this. Boris has said the 8th for the kiddies, if he deems it okay. And it probably won't be. Not with people having parties on boats and stuff like that. So it's getting very, very, very close to a year. But before we've got that, we've got 350 episodes, haven't we? Which we will hit at the end of February. Young Jonathan, you see, he likes February. It's square. 4 weeks square. And by the end of February, we will be at 350. So can't really say fairer than that, can you? Right, after the medical malpractice stuff that made it as far as to you, what percentage would you say were found not to be malpracticed? Interested, the default of most hospitals is just to pay out rather than challenge it. We always found that the ones that we got, they did challenge. And some of them, to me, what are you thinking? You know, literally just pay out. So I would think there was quite a percentage. A lot of people don't want to take it any further, because if you think about it, they've already been put through it and you would have to go through more medicals. And that actually did freak a lot of them out. So I would say of the ones that reached us and went forward, for every one case, there must have been another 5 at least. And the ones that were found not to be malpractice, not many, to be honest, not many. I mean, there's stuff like that. I mean, when you've had swabs left inside you, that's what we sort of call a St. Catherine's Dock case. St. Catherine's Dock was a case where, I mean, it goes back donkey's years, but it was a guy outside a dock. If you can imagine like a dock in London where they're unpacking ships, and he walked past this window and a bag of flour fell out and hit him on the head and he was injured. How could he prove they were negligent? Because he had nothing to do with the business. He was innocently walking past outside. That established a principle in English law that there are certain cases, res ipsa loquitur, which is Latin for the facts speak for themselves. It's not normal for a bag of flour to fall out of a window and hit somebody on the head. In those circumstances, the company has to prove they weren't negligent. How that would translate to a medical malpractice case is... you go in for an operation and they leave swabs inside you. You cannot prove they were negligent, but you don't have to. They have to prove they weren't. So in cases like that, why on earth would they try and defend themselves? I can't understand that. But they did, up to a certain point. And then, of course, it's like, yeah, we're not going to win this. So very, very few cases actually failed, because you would, if there was any doubt, they would probably, the person concerned would probably not choose to pursue it, because they don't want to go through the ringer of what would be involved. Having said that, you did get some patients who were a little bit bolshy about what had happened. And if you had a case that was a class action, like the Myodeal case, then if you had a bolshy principal complainant, that actually served you quite well. So what you could do as a lawyer, if you had like 20 cases and you needed to go class action, you wouldn't put forward somebody who was a little bit reticent, you know, didn't want to go and have more tests and things. You would pick somebody who would represent the class. And this particular lady that was like the number one complainant, she was fearsome. Oh, she was fearsome. She'd had this injection for a spinal, it turned into arachnoiditis because it was oil-based, not water-based. And she was rendered in a wheelchair, and she was not happy about this, and everybody knew it. So she was a great one to be. But if you didn't have a class action and they didn't want to push it, then there wasn't really much point. But of the ones that we got, win rate was probably about 90%. The only ones that failed were where the evidence wasn't there to prove it, or the complainant decided they couldn't go through with it. It was just too much, you know, and I didn't appreciate the defence making life difficult for people like that. I did not appreciate that at all. So I tended to keep the client out of it as far as humanly possible. Maybe they would need a medical examination, but other than that, you know, don't bother them with stuff because they're already suffering. And that technique worked quite well for me. Never lost a case. There you go. Never lost a case. 29 days and Kim has been home for a year. Wow. So we've got another, is it 14 after that? It's not long, is it? Oh, wow. It's not long. But look at the fun we've had. Actually, I don't think I would have changed anything apart from everybody dying. But apart from that, I think in our little bubble here, we've had a lot of fun, haven't we? And we'll be back having more fun tomorrow. But for the moment, I'm going to say good night from me.
And good night from me.
And we will both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.